السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Continuing now with the biography of Sayyidina Umar رضي الله تعالى عنه. When Umar رضي الله عنه received the news that the Persians were preparing and gathering forces to wipe out the few remaining forces in Iraq, he ordered the conscription of Mujahideen, because now the situation demanded this. Hence he ordered Musanna to look around in the nearby Arab tribes for men who are fit for jihad and to enlist them. Right? So this was compulsory military. Now you had to join. Right? Immediately. You can't say you don't want to join this army and all that. You have to join. So this compulsory military service was an idea of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and he was the first one to carry it out in Islamic history. When Musanna received his letter, he immediately acted upon the instructions. Meanwhile, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu an wrote to his officials not to leave any person capable of bearing weapons, owning a horse, having a position of influence, and possessing courage, except that they should be sent to him. So he wanted to enlist every able-bodied person to go for this jihad. When they came to him, he ordered them to enlist and asked them to send more recruits so that they could also be sent to Iraq. The situation in the Persian-controlled territories had changed considerably after the ascension of Yazdegerd to the throne. Now the situation was internal stability. Prior to this they were fighting, so the situation was unstable. But now when Yazdegerd was, now when he came in power, there was stability, all the Persians rallied around him. Because to them now this is the grandson of our Khosro, this is the person we must be obedient to. Right? The second thing, they also recruited anyone who was able-bodied to take part in the war. And they started, you know, putting military bases in different parts of the land which was conquered by the Muslims. Then the people who had joined the ranks of the Muslims, they were prepared to pay jizya, etc. They started instigating those people to rebel against the Muslims. Right? So the Muslims now, they had to adapt to this change. Right? They had to adapt. So they adapted according to the changing reality as follows. Number one, Musanna and other commanders withdrew their forces. Because the forces are now in danger here. Right? So they withdrew their forces. Number two, retreat and spreading out along the water course, which was the natural border between the Islamic and the Persian Empire. Right? So Musanna camped at Ziqar and other forces camped at Tuf, and they made outposts in Iraq. These outposts were in the line of sight to coordinate the war effort. And if war is to break out, must be able to coordinate from there. Right? And then, just as these people were engaged in conscription, the Muslims were also engaged in conscription. They were getting whoever they can to join. The Muslims were also getting whoever they could get to join. So this was now the third phase of the Iraqi campaign, which began with the appointment of Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu an as commander of Iraq, the Iraqi front, in the year 14 Hijri. Up to this point we were discussing 13 Hijri, right? Now we've come into 14 Hijri. This year commenced with Umar radiallahu an exhorting the people to fight the Persians. Umar radiallahu an set out with his army on the first day of Muharram, and he pitched camp at a watercourse called Sirar. He intended to participate in the jihad personally. Umar radiallahu an, he wanted to take part personally in this jihad. And he placed Ali radiallahu an in charge of Madinah Munawwarah. Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu and other Sahaba radiallahu anhum also accompanied him. He organized a mashwara there to consult with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum about his plans, and he sent for Ali radiallahu anhu to come from Madinah Munawwara. He ordered for the call to prayer to be made. He then asked them for their opinions. Everyone agreed with him that he should personally lead the battle. He must be the Amir of this battle. Besides Hazrat Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu. Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu said, I fear that if something happened to you, because if he is the leader now, the enemy is going to be focusing their attack on him. Right? If something has to happen to you, Muslims all over the world will become weak. In my opinion, you should send someone else in your place and you must return to Madinah Munawwara. You go to Madinah Munawwara and you run the affairs of the Muslim lands from there. Send somebody else to go and do the fighting. So, when everybody heard that, they all agreed. Initially all were saying, Umar must lead the army. But when they heard this opinion of Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu an, then they all changed their opinion. They said, no, what he's saying is right. So Umar radiallahu an also agreed with this. Umar radiallahu an asked him, then who do you think we should send to Iraq? You're saying, I mustn't go, so who must we send? So Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu an said to him. You know who you have to send. So Umar radiallahu an asked, who? He said, the lion's paw. The lion's paw. Sa'ad bin Malik Zuhri radiallahu an. So Umar radiallahu an, he liked this opinion and he sent for Sa'ad radiallahu an. Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas called for him and he appointed him. So that's why he was appointed as the commander, right? When Sa'ad radiallahu an came to Madinah Munawwara, Umar radiallahu an appointed him as the commander of the Iraqi campaign and he said to him, O Sa'ad, the Sa'ad of Banu Wuhayb, don't be deceived away from Allah Ta'ala. If someone says, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Sa'ad was one of the first men to embrace Islam. And he was from the Banu Zuhra, the tribe of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam's mother. Right? Hence he was called Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's uncle. Allah the Almighty does not blot out sins with sins. Instead, He washes away sins with good deeds. Allah Ta'ala has no relation to anyone except through obedience. People, whether they belong to the nobility or they are of humble birth. That means whether you come from a high family or you come from a family that's not known, they are all equal in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is the Rabb of all of them. They are ranked according to their soundness of heart. And they obtain His favors by acts of obedience to Allah Ta'ala. Now you'll think Umar radiallahu anhu is sending a person now for such a big war. He's going to show him weapons. Show him how some strategy. No. What he's telling, what he's speaking to him about Iman. This is the weapon of the believer. This is what the believer has left today. That's why we're suffering around the globe. Then he says to him, be mindful of the practice of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. From the day he was given nubuwat until he passed away. That is the most important practice. In other words, he's telling him, hold fast onto the sunnah. Remain firm on sunnah. This is my advice to you. If you don't listen, you will be a loser. So in short, he gave him two advices. Be obedient to Allah Ta'ala. Follow the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this was indeed a very profound advice from the great Khalif. He was aware of the natural human disposition to vanity that may afflict Sa'ad if someone referred to his relationship with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This may have led him to think that he is higher than other Muslims, but that goes against basic Islamic teachings. He reminded Sa'ad radiallahu anhu that the criterion of nobility and dignity in this life is Allah is the Rabb of everyone. They are ranked according to their soundness and obtain His favors by acts of obedience. Because Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. Those that are the most noble, the most honorable of you in the sight of Allah are those who have the most taqwa. So that was one advice that he gave him. Then Umar radiallahu an, when Sa'ad radiallahu an was about to leave now, he gave him another piece of advice. He said to him, I have appointed you to lead the Iraq campaign. So remember my advice. You are being charged with a severe and unpleasant responsibility. In other words, you have got a difficult task ahead of you. The only way you're going to discharge it is by being sincere. Have ikhlas. Be sincere. Make yourself and those with you carry out good deeds, making them a means to seek Allah's help. In other words, when you carry out good deeds, you will get the help of Allah Ta'ala. You must know that everything has prerequisites. The prerequisite of good deeds is sabr. Sabr over whatever befalls you. Right? If you have sabr, it will instill within you the fear of Allah Ta'ala. You must also be aware that the fear of Allah Ta'ala is composed of two elements. When a person says he got the fear of Allah, then you'll find two things in his life. One, he carries out the laws of Allah. Two, he stays away from the prohibitions. He will do good deeds, he will stay away from sins. That is a proof that a person has got the fear of Allah. Someone who truly obeys Allah is the one who obeys out of love for the Akhirah, and he is not worried about worldly fame, worldly luxury, he is not worried about that. His focus is on the hereafter. Anyone who disobeys Allah Ta'ala, he does so because he loves this world. He loves this world and he doesn't really worry about the Akhirat. Allah the Almighty created certain conditions of the heart, right? Certain states of the heart, which are either hidden or public. In the public state, the heart should be the same in justice, whether somebody criticizes you or whether somebody praises you. If the man praises me or he criticizes me, but now I need to make a judgment about him, his praises or his criticism must not affect my judgment. I must look at what is justice, what is correct. Right? As for the hidden state, it becomes known when the wisdom of the heart appears on the tongue. Otherwise, you don't know what's in a person's heart. But when the person talks, and you see he's talking words of Allah, Sunnah, full of wisdom, then you know that that is what is in the heart. Allah Ta'ala make us like that. Do not renounce endearment to people. Since the Anbiya alayhi salam used to ask Allah Ta'ala to make them endeared to the people. You see, when you have the concern of the ummah at heart and there is piety in your heart, then automatically people become close to you. People want to like you. They want to be with you. So Umar radiallahu anhu is telling Sa'ad radiallahu anhu that do not renounce endearment. People want to be close to you. Don't renounce that. Because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself made dua that the people must be attracted to him, they must like him. When Allah Ta'ala loves a person, he makes him loved by the people. And when Allah Ta'ala hates someone, he makes an object of hate, he makes that person an object of hate for the people also. The people who don't like him. Measure your status with Allah Ta'ala with your status in the eyes of the people around you. So this narration contains beneficial lessons. Right? There are many lessons in this to take. Right? We don't have the time to go into all these things. But Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq that we too, we carry out good deeds, we stay away from gunas. That is a proof that we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sa'ad radiallahu anh set out with his army of plus minus 4, and some narrations say 6,000 mujahideen. Umar radiallahu anh accompanied them from Sirar to a place called Awas. Right? Awas is a valley on the way to Iraq. It used to pour its water into a canal. Today, the airport of Madinah Munawwara is situated in this valley, in this area. Right? So, he accompanied them and then he delivered a khutbah. Allah the Almighty sent forth examples for you and gave you his speech, meaning the Quran Sharif, to bring the hearts back to life. Hearts are dead in the chest until Allah Ta'ala brings them to life. The one who has some knowledge should benefit from it. Justice has certain signs and glad tidings. The signs are modesty, humility and compassion. Its glad tidings are mercy. Allah Ta'ala has made a door for everything, and he made a key for every door which is easily obtainable. The door to justice is to take heed, and its key is zuhud. You don't get, you know, attracted to the world. Taking heed means to be mindful of death by remembering the dead and being prepared for it by doing good deeds. Zuhud means to take from those who are obliged to give and to give to those who have the right to take, without bribing anyone in the process. Be satisfied with having the bare minimum of provisions. Because the one who is not content with having the bare minimum will never be satisfied with anything. I am between you and Allah Ta'ala, but there is no one between me and Allah Ta'ala. In other words, I am answerable how I'm looking after you. So I am between you and Allah Ta'ala. But me, there's nobody, no Khalifa on top of me. Allah Ta'ala has charged me with dispensing justice and redressing your complaints. So bring your complaints to me. And the one who cannot do so personally should take his complaints to someone who can deliver it to us. We will restore his rights to him without harming him in any way. In other words, he made the people feel comfortable. If you got any problem, any complaint, bring it to me. We're not going to treat you unjustly. We will look into the matter, and whatever is the correct thing to be done, that is what we will do, no matter who you are. That was his khutbah. So now, Sa'ad radiallahu anh, he advances now towards Iraq. Inshallah, we will continue on this. الله تعالى يستوفي سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته